Welcome to TLDR AusPol, the podcast for the engaged-ish people of the world.
Welcome to episode 2 of TLDR AusPol.
Hello, Rhiannon.
Hello, Annabelle. So lovely to see you. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
That's good.
Have I said good too many times?
We've said good a lot of times.
It's questionable now. Thou dost protest too much.
It's good. It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I'm really excited for today's episode.
Yes, me too. I've been looking forward to this one.
Yes, me too. We are today talking about the political spectrum.
Yes.
So we're trying to understand.
I can't even deal.
Rhiannon, what's a political spectrum?
For those who have just tuned into episode 2 and been naughty and skipped episode 1, Annabelle has jumped straight into one of the quips of TLDR, which is the millennial button. The millennial button comes out anytime I say something that's too wordy, or anytime Annabelle says something that's too inflammatory, or a campaign for the Labour Party. So I've just used a phrase that Annabelle is accusing me of being too wordy. I don't even remember. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I'm just going to keep my hand here over this button.
You keep it there. We're talking about the political spectrum today. We're talking about ideologies, because ideologies are what build the political spectrum. And I think I'm going to struggle to not talk about this in a very wordy manner, because it was quite interesting when it was actually one of our dear friends, Millie, who has been a huge fan of TLDR from...
Hi, Millie.
She's behind us in the studio. We love her. I was talking to Millie about TLDR a little while ago, and talking about how for us in our conversations about politics, understanding where each other sit on the political spectrum and what that means for how we look at policy has been a really big part of being able to have good conversations where we disagree. And Millie was like, but what is that? And I was like, oh, great. Millie, like, millennial buttoned me in real life.
Yeah, exactly. The real life millennial button.
And so we thought
it would be... She did a middle part and put her mum jeans on.
Put her skinny jeans on. And, so we thought it would be great to do an episode on the political spectrum to frame the way that we talk about policy as we move into more particular policy areas.
So what is the political spectrum, Rhiannon?
In my words, Annabelle's got her hand over the button.
I'm about to push it.
The political spectrum is an attempt to simplify the different ideologies that can drive the way that a group of people govern.
Living my best life. Sorry, not sorry.
You got two pushes.
I've got
then.
Two buttons then.
Can you break that down a little bit more for those in the back?
Those in the back. I'll say it a little louder, those in the back. Yes. I knew this would happen, so I wrote this into my show notes. Let's start with an ideology, right?
Please.
An ideology, according to the dictionary, is a system of ideas and ideals, especially which form the basis of economic or political theory and policy. So inherently, the idea of an ideology has a political bend to it.
In any context?
Well, yeah, that's like what the dictionary
says.
Isn't
that interesting?
That's what I thought. Because
I love that,
there
actually.
There are so many applications for an ideology as well. Like, you think about, even with like religion, you know, wow, we've gone into the two taboo subjects on this podcast in episode 2.
I will let you take this one.
But, you know, religion has ideologies, you know, underpinning that then influence the way that, you know, you view the world, should you subscribe to one of those. But inherently an ideology has this kind of political background to it. But it's really a set of values or beliefs that that change the way that you behave, or change the way that you consume the world around you and look at the world around you. And it was quite funny, actually, because when we were talking about this episode today, and we were talking about exploring the political spectrum and getting a bit of an understanding between us and that shared language, we went about it in really different ways. You know, I went straight to the uni library and was like, what is the academic understanding of the political spectrum here?
I asked my friends.
Yeah. Which is great.
I got a lefty group together. I'm just like, please help me. She's very clever.
And she went to the universities. But it was quite interesting, because the thing that I learned by doing a bit of reading from an academic point of view, because the whole thing is, right, I'm not actually very academic. I rarely do very well at university, but I love understanding it from that point of view first, and then like working to the real life and the real world. But what I learned was that politically, your ideology isn't necessarily all something that you choose for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of political psychologists that talk about how, you know, the way that you were brought up and the kind of class, like your socioeconomic status.
It's almost like, you know, like picking a footy team, how you're brought up to pick a foot. I mean, we're from also from different states. So you're from New South Wales, I'm from Victoria. Footies. So footy means something different to both of us as well.
Just and I come from a rugby add a bit family more, as a well. Bit,
another layer of complexity to all of this.
Exactly.
Well, rugby union, rugby league are the same thing to me as well.
Yes.
We made a talk about that later.
Let's not go into sports.
So it's a little bit like, you know, being brought up with a footy team. Well, that's my experience. It's sort of like, this is what our family go for.
Yeah, exactly. And even further to the visible or further to what has been talked about, you know, so we're going to hear a little bit more about your story and how you decided to run for the Labor Party a little bit later in the episode. Yeah. But beyond what was visible or audible for you as a kid, there are all these factors that actually contribute to what we as individuals value.
Yeah, 100%.
And politically what that means is that we all fall somewhere on the spectrum, whether we've thought about it or not.
Yeah.
And that
or whether
was
we've taken that ABC
political exactly, ideology compass. Yeah, exactly. I come out bang in the middle every time, wow, which is so
it's
not
different
helpful.
For me, depending on the election.
Yeah, exactly.
What's kind of...
what's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so even if you haven't ever thought about where you sit on the political spectrum, the thing is that you do fall somewhere on there. And like I said, we've kind of... I might not have actually said it on air. I might have said it while we were chatting beforehand. But
this is a problem with talk. We shouldn't talk.
We shouldn't talk before we launch into this.
This podcast.
Exactly.
Ever.
all conversing will be done, recorded. When as we've gotten better at having discussions about politics where we disagree, the thing that we've kind of come back to as an anchor is understanding the ideology. Yeah. And understanding where each other come from so that you've got this like objective, it's like having an objective third party in the conversation to say, well, okay, I understand that this is how you feel about this issue. This is how I feel about this issue. But I understand what drives that for you.
It instills a lot of confidence in the choice that I've made to join the Labor Party whenever we talk, because sometimes it's like we talk about some topic and it's like, I have this, this is my gut reaction to that.
Yeah.
And then you start to talk it through and it's like, oh, great. Yeah. This aligns, which shows obviously that it's right for me. But that's, it's cool to be able to sort of almost objectively look at an issue and have a conversation between the two of us and go, because often one of the first things I'll do whenever we talk about something or whenever something comes up is think about values and what are my values and look at it through that lens,
which is not something everyone does.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not
throwing shade, but you know, but that's why this episode is important, right? To say, well, actually, this is the lens we come from with these conversations. So this is the lens we want to establish for the rest of forever as we're doing this podcast.
Forever. No pressure.
Forever. I just gave Annabelle the most intense eyes. This is a commitment. It is indeed.
I'm up for that.
So, yeah, it's... I discovered something fun while I was researching.
I'm really, really excited for you to share this.
And
I will... You go first.
Oh, are you sure? Do you want to...
No, I don't want to wreck it.
So the thing is, right, like when I was trying to get into politics and understand this whole bag, you'd hear people talk about, and I said it, I should have had the jargon button, the millennial button hit on me in episode one. I immediately went to talking about how, you know, I was centre-right and, you know, Annabelle is centre-left as a member of the Labor Party. And she corrected me after the episode saying, well, actually, I'm a little bit more socialist than that, so I wouldn't say I'm centre-left. And I was like, whatever.
I won't push the button now. Yeah, thank retrospective.
You. Exactly. Off-air conversations.
Yeah. We need a button for our lives.
We do. But even the concept and the language of the right and the left, I didn't understand it until recent history. But it was like so not. It was so natural.
When you think about it, it's like when you overthink the spelling of a word or something.
And
you're
say
like,
it too many times.
Why is it that? Well, why isn't that, Rhiannon?
I found out.
Tell us.
So the origin, the history of the political spectrum being right to left, actually is from the French Revolution.
It's awesome.
I'm going to get my details all wrong here, so I'm going to post the link to the article that I read, which I also validated against a couple of other sources as well.
And I do have to say, because Rhiannon said to me to look up some reading resources, and when you said you were going to talk about the French Revolution, one of the reading resources will be Les Mis. And yes. I've been reliably informed that a certain Rhiannon doesn't know the songs for Les Mis.
I've never watched
so
it.
So we'll have a bit of a test in a few episodes' time to see if you can sing some of the songs.
I'm ready. I'm so ready. If there's one thing
See,
I can
you've
do,
read the show notes.
I can rise to the challenge. Yeah.
Do you hear the people sing?
I will.
Singing the songs of angry men?
Well, what about the angry women? Anyway, French Revolution, right? So what happens is, I'm going to butcher the details, but stay with me. Basically, there's chaos happening, right? The French Revolution's going on.
Yeah,
there's
if you had a scene Les Mis, you would not have to even state that.
How good that I can conjure up the Les Mis experience in my brain without having seen Les Mis.
Imagine lots of chairs. Anytime you see a play, like a school play production of Les Mis, lots it's always chairs. The right. There's a barricade. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Hashtag blessed.
I just pushed on myself.
Great. We've got self-regulation happening. What an excellent market force. So there's chaos happening in the French Revolution, and someone, I'm not quite sure who because I forget the details, says, I need to get a better understanding of where everyone
Jean
in
Valjean.
This room, probably, I don't know, sit on the French Revolution. Are we in support of it or are we in support of the monarchy? So basically to organise the room, probably was a he, said, if you are in support of the revolution, please sit on the left-hand side. I think it was actually in the French Parliament, but please sit on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And if you're in support of the monarchy, please sit on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And so that's where the history of the right and the left come from.
Yeah.
You know. And it's interesting because I think one of the things that I was thinking about as I was reading this was like, but what's... Like, how does this relate to us today in the way that we talk about the political spectrum? Because there's probably a couple of like... campaigny or bandwagony phrases, right? We could use to translate that from the French Revolution.
And
into
I was
now.
Actually thinking about this today, and I was thinking about the fact whenever I try and explain Australian politics to my American friends, and how I kind of describe each party, kind of thing. And I often describe the Labor Party as the Progressive Party and the Liberal Party as the Conservative Party, which when you talk about that French Revolution example or that sort of origin story, you know, the sort of the right side kind of stuck with the status quo, stuck with, you know, the monarchy and what was happening. And, you know, the left side was like, let's do something different.
Let's flip the chairs.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think that like the liberal inside of me, right, capital L, liberal, is like, I get kind of upset when someone is like, oh, well, the left is progressive, because I'm like, but I'm progressive.
Yeah.
I work in innovation. Like, I love thinking about how we do new things. And so I think sometimes the language that we use to talk about the left and the right can also be polarizing, which doesn't help these conversations.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And it might make you upset that I often... draw a similarity between the Liberal Party and the Republican Party. Her face. I wish you could see her face. And the Labor Party and the Democratic Party. And this is honestly, this is before even this podcast. This has been for years.
Yeah.
I've been misrepresenting Australian politics to a select few
Lucky
Americans.
We're doing this then, huh?
But genuinely, that's how I describe, I mean, just to Americans, that's how I describe it.
Which... through a particular lens isn't wrong, right? You know, like, and this is the thing where we can really get ourselves in trouble with the language that we use.
Yep.
And I think where we have to be really careful on this podcast to go, well, we acknowledge the shortcomings of the rhetoric that we've used for a long time, you know, to talk about the political spectrum.
Yep.
I think one of the phrases, and thinking back to the fact that, you know, my preparation for this episode was to read, like, two or three academic, really academic articles, right?
And I read a couple on the train today.
Great, though. We're so ready. I think one of the ways that...
I feel like you've studied for the test and I'm like trying to scribble, like look over your shoulder and scribble your notes.
I'm still not going to do well. Like I might have studied. This is the story of my life. I might have studied, but I'm still not going to do well. I will talk confidently about it any time. I'm just not great with exams. I get very stressed.
This isn't an exam. But except the Lamia's exam will be a test
later.
Yes,
okay, I'm prepared. one of the genuine questions I've been asking myself is there genuinely objective language that we can use to describe the political spectrum? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think one of the things that you've heard me say regularly, and I might catch some trolls for saying this out loud, but one of the ways that some of the language I use to help myself describe it is that, like, the left believe that if you serve the individuals first, that you'll generate good things for the nation, you know, that the benefit will flow upwards. Whereas the right kind of believe the inverse, that if you serve the benefit of the nation, then the structures,
the people
that have been in place for centuries to protect people, and I used air quotes when I said protect, knowing myself that there are some shortcomings of that, that it will flow down, you know. And so even having that language really helped me understand when you come from a particular angle or a particular feeling towards a policy, I'm going, well, I understand that Annabelle subscribes to that side of the political spectrum, which believes that we need to, for the good of the country, serve the individuals first.
Yeah.
And what I believe is actually quite different to that. It's okay. And ultimately, both sides of the spectrum, when you sit fairly centrist, when you get to the extremes, it's maybe a bit of a different story, can run a country.
Totally.
You know, like, we in Australia are not going to experience a revolution of our own if one party was to stay in government for a really long time. You know, things will keep ticking on.
I think as long as people participate in democracy, and that's something that, you know, I mean, maybe we can talk about the American perspective at some point in the future, and what actually the fact that we have to vote means.
Yeah, exactly.
For the Australian political literacy
level. Yeah, exactly. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well, Annabelle. So we've talked a little bit about how this relates to the Australian landscape, right? So we've said, yes, there are probably still nods to the French Revolution and what happened in French Parliament with the way that we talk about the right and the left now. I'd love to hear your thoughts a little bit on, like, what this means for the other parties. So we've talked a bit about Labor and Liberal because that's our shtick.
Yeah.
But what do you see? A, can you tell me where on the spectrum people like the Greens sit and the Independents? And also, I actually didn't tell her I was going to ask this question, but now that we're here, I'm curious. What do you think it means for the system? Like, what for the political spectrum?
That's a really
what
good
is having
question.
The Greens actually do to the spectrum?
Well, because, you know, there's the Greens sort of very, very left and the National Party very, very right.
Yeah.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, and then Liberal and Labor, I think the idea is that they sit a little bit more central and a little bit more balanced. And then you've got all of those independents dotted through, you know, and they could, you know, sort of one of the things that I was going to sort of try and do is have a think about, let's map out where the different independents sit. But then it's not really that relevant because, you know, the idea of an independent is that they're not aligned to a particular party or policy. Mm. They can do whatever they want or whatever they feel for each individual issue. And there's power in that. And it's great that there are some independents, you know, who can tip the scales sometimes and things like that. I actually think that, you know, that, and you might not like me so much for this, but I sort of, the hand is hovering over that. I do sort of think that there is a bit of a gap in central right, in the central right space. I do believe that the Liberal Party are kind of verging a little bit closer to the Nationals. That's just my interpretation of it.
OMG.
I'm going to button you only because I think it is it's not respecting the podcast.
Fair enough.
To start commentating.
Fair enough.
On.
No, that's fair enough.
The Liberal Party.
I'm not sure how I can talk about the spectrum.
Okay, we can just like leave that there. I think we've really touched on the important thing though, right?
Yeah.
Which is that
there is a balance there, you know.
Absolutely. And it's not about it's not about picking your footy team, picking your side.
No.
It's actually and sticking with it dogmatically. It's about working out on average which party's ideology do I most subscribe to?
Yeah.
So can I get behind, you know, this concept of hierarchy has served us really well for a really long time. Yep. And so the benefit will come down to the people and I'll be looked after as a citizen on the right side of the spectrum.
Yep.
Or do I believe that we need to be focusing more on the individual first and then and I'm probably going to get someone commenting saying that that's such a butchering and it's an oversimplification, but it helped me. So hopefully it helped someone else. That's really the, you know, you work out which one of those resonates with you the most and then decide, right, well, is my support best thrown behind a major party or is my support best demonstrated by an independent? And that's where your local election and your state elections really matter, right? Because once you have an understanding of that, you can work out, well, who am I going to vote for in an election? Because who's going to represent my values?
And I think all of us innately have things that we're passionate about specifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, different parties have strengths in different areas, like you've outlined and like what you said. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes it should align maybe differently. You know, and maybe you do think that a different party or an independent has a particular view.
A better way of approaching.
And that's why I think I spoke, as sort of said in episode one, like I think that's the real exciting part about this is how do we encourage people to participate in whatever level of democracy that they, you know, however they kind of, whether it is actually joining a party and making that party into what you'd like to see that party be based on maybe your values and where in the spectrum you kind of gravitate towards.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we were talking about a bit the other day as well was like not being like stupid enough to be dogmatic about it. You know, like we both feel tensions with supporting a major party.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were talking about last night, Annabelle's been staying at my house for a couple of nights, which has been super fun.
We're free from Victoria.
That's right. Let loose. Small fact we forgot to tell you in episode one is Annabelle's from Victoria. But we were talking about quite late last night on the couch, how, you know, we see the tension with our own party, you know, and we see the shortcomings and we're rounded enough to go, you know, the decision for us in some ways and maybe now's a good time to start talking about what we did with this information on the spectrum and how we landed where we did, you know, politically. Yeah. But I know that for me, you know, a couple of years ago when I got really curious about politics and was trying to work out what that meant I did with it, when I did entertain the thought of running, which is not something that I think I want to do now, you know, but I change my mind so often, honestly, who knows, and maybe that I've come out center right on a podcast I've put the nail in my own political career coffin. But I know that one of the things I was toying about was like, do I join the Liberal Party, which I'm not a member of the Liberal Party but I support them, and try and advocate for change in the areas where I see I don't align, you know, with them, or would I run as an independent, you know, and have that freedom and that flexibility?
And often, you know, independents run because, you know, most independents have been aligned to a political party in the past. And there's been one big ticket item that, you know, has sort of, they've disagreed with fundamentally. And so they've run as an independent.
Yeah.
You know, or there's a particular issue that's made them, you know, like that there's no political affiliation, but there's a particular issue that they're running on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really fabulous too, because, you know, this is how we speak loudly about things that are important in Australia and the issues. And like I've said a million times, you know, grassroots is my bag. I love it. I didn't swear. And
I thought you were about to say froth it. And I was like, wow. Oh,
froth it.
She's very Northern Beaches already. She's been here for 2 days. Bearing in mind kind of what I said earlier, right, when I came into this episode and I thought I'm going to look at some of the academic, you know, kind of references. And I read that really interesting article about the don't button me, I'm going to button myself. But like the article title was like the psychological determinants of your political ideology, which was like those things that sometimes we're not even consciously choosing on, you know, our values that have been inherently embedded into us from, imbued into us from our childhood, from our experiences. Talk to me a little bit about your, you know, how you landed on supporting and running for the Labor Party. Like, you know, where did that come from? What were some of the, in hindsight, what were some of the things that you gleaned from your family, from your upbringing?
I think, I mean, like, I was brought up in a Labor household. You know, I was brought up to talk about politics, you know. Right. it's interesting. I was brought up not to ask other, you know, politics was not, it was a rude question.
It's taboo, yeah.
Which, you know, we're going to ask everyone who comes on the podcast where they sit on the spectrum, which, you know, is like, you know, so I was obviously brought up in that space, you know, that's full disclosure. But I think, you know, I'm a pretty objective person and growing and sort of especially being a part of advocacy and, and having to be bipartisan and looking at both parties quite closely, admittedly within a health context and a cancer context. You know, like I said before, so many issues, the Labor Party's values aligned with mine. So I joined the Labor Party a few years ago and, you know, every experience I've had with the Labor Party and the people involved, I mean, the parties are the people. And I adore the people involved in the Labor Party. You know, I find that the more I learn, the more it focuses how I feel. You know, and so, I put up my hand to run. Well, I was pre-selected, so I buttoned myself. You know, so the Labor Party chose me, or the members in my area chose me to represent them. And be an endorsed Labor candidate for the local council election in the middle of COVID last year. And that, you know, really solidified. You know, I had to publicly talk. People would ask me questions about, you know, how do I feel about, you know, solar panels on heritage homes and the heritage overlay.
And it's you had to respond in a manner that was true to you as well as true to the party that 100%. You now represent.
Yeah, 100%.
It's funny because it's actually quite a different story to mine, you know, of like...
Tell me yours, Rhiannon. What kind of house did you grow up in?
I grew up in a house where you didn't talk about politics. You know, I remember couple of years... Like, you know, we just... It wasn't what we spoke about over the dinner table. I only know what my parents vote for, like from asking them in the last 12 months, you know, and I remember I've asked mum a few times leading up to elections. I'm like, mum, who are you voting for? And she's like, oh, you never tell. And so we just grew up like blissfully ignorant in some ways. Like I don't feel oppressed by not having spoken about politics. But I think what's been interesting is that I've had to work so hard to get across it and follow that curiosity. And it also meant that like I... Because the way that I go about things often is to like really deeply understand something, which can be a real downfall with something like politics, right? Because you can never know enough. Like there's not one book you read and you're like, you're across it. You understand this. And also it's just so, it's such a biased space, you know, like I was just craving someone. And thankfully I had a few really awesome people in my world who did give me their honest reflections without trying to sway me over to which way they voted. But yeah, I just had to work really hard to work out what the lay of the land was and work out where I sat. But I think the really interesting thing for me and the thing that I'm like quite proud of and quite glad about is that it means that I'm quite unashamedly happy to speak about it, you know, and happy to come on this podcast and say I'm not a Labor Party member. I'm not a Liberal
all
Party
right,
member.
All right.
Don't all button me.
There's parties.
I'm not
We can both agree
we talk
on that
about
one.
The spectrum, not the parties. But you know, I'm quite happy to say I'm right leaning, you know, and similarly I've met people through different networks and you know, events and things who are my kind of people who support the Liberal Party. And and that comes back to ideologies. It comes back to this idea that we share a similar beliefs and value system that change the way that we look at policy. And so, yeah, it's quite cool to be like, yeah, I had to work really hard for that. And I still work.
I guess it means that you come to it with a really objective view.
Yeah. And that was the thing that I always wanted. I never wanted to be someone who picked their footy team and just like stuck to their guns on it because it was what to do. But like, I really wanted to understand it and I wanted to be able to engage with it well. Cause I like, I donkey voted a number of times, right? Can I get fined in retrospect for that? Anyway. Or can I only get fined if I don't vote?
I think it's if you don't vote.
Yeah, cool. I think I only did that in one election.
I've never donkey voted.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I just want that to be on record.
Thank you for
being an
upstanding citizen. Like I've donkey voted a couple of times. Don't tell anyone. and I didn't want to do that anymore. You know, I was like, no, I have a voice and I have a part to play. And so, yeah, as much as our stories have been super different, the thing that we've both recognised and like we've said in our conversations has been really important is to understand where that influences the way we approach policy.
So we'd like everyone who comes on this podcast, and I think you're right, you know, it's that distinction which I will get the button for a lot about taking out that actual, the party.
Yeah.
And actually focus on the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, left to right.
Left to right.
And, you know, I think that's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the button a lot, though, like before.
That's okay.
I'm going to get the button all the time. But we're going to have to wrap this up, Rhiannon.
We are. I'm so sorry. I waffled then.
What? Do not apologize.
Okay, okay. I'm not sorry.
Oh, my God. Is this going to be sorry, not sorry?
Are you okay, huh?
No. Oh, so close.
Could have been great.
Look, so much to say. I was so looking forward to recording this episode, and it has been just as fun as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really want our listeners to be able to digest this and hopefully just have a fresh perspective.
Have a think about where you sit on the spectrum.
On the spectrum, and have a think about the things that have shaped that for you.
And have a think about why it's with the Labor Party.
The struggle is real
with Annabelle. But yeah, it will change the way that we engage in all of the conversations we're about to have on TLDR. Yep. So with that, I'm going to bid you adieu, Annabelle.
Oh, it has goodbye. Been
a pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. Where can people catch us on the gram?
Oh, we have an Instagram account, which is at @TLDRAuspol.
Oh, there's an underscore, @TLDR_Auspol. Oh,
this is why I'm not good at this bit.
That's okay. It's okay. You'll get better.
And we've got some other stuff too, probably.
Not yet, but no. I'm hoping we will.
Look at the last episode, because you spoke a lot about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How to find us. Or is it just the Instagram?
It's just the Instagram. Okay. I don't know what podcast you were listening to.
No.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 2. We'll be back in a fortnight. See you then.